Game time live for the Next Gen Mayo Medical Clinic Zone Studios. Nick Baugh with you all the way until 2 o'clock. John and Josh take over. You can listen to us on the 1620 The Zone mobile app on 1620thezone.com. We got Kevin Kugler in about a half hour. We got Danny Woodhead in an hour. And we got Brian Munson in about 90 minutes. So we got some heavy hitters, boy, coming down the pike. So make sure you keep it locked, because you're not going to want to miss what those guys got to say. I have been thinking about this. So in the wake of last week's college basketball national championship game, Virginia and Texas Tech, and all the angst surrounding that matchup, remember there were multiple people writing big picture scathing columns about the state of college basketball and what the issues are. And I was thinking about that because I kind of got into big picture mode. And if I had to go through all the major sports and really lay out what I believe the most pressing issue is that faces each sport, I'd do it like this. And I want you to really think about this with me. Let's start with the granddaddy of them all, the big dog, the king, the NFL. The most pressing issue for the NFL is obviously concussions. There's no doubt about it. It's not pass interference being reviewable and moving the extra point back, or those are the little minutiae that we get upset in the moment. I'm trying to zoom way out and think about the big picture of this thing. The number one thing that stands in the way of the NFL getting knocked off the top of the mountain as the king is concussions. The head trauma concerns obviously have a domino effect potentially in football. It impacts participation in youth football, which then could impact participation in high school football, that then would impact college football, and ultimately the NFL. To me, that's it. That's how good the NFL is. There isn't really anything else that is a major problem with the NFL to me. It's the number one TV show on CBS, Fox, ESPN, and NBC. It's king.
So I'm going to throw one at
you. Give it to me.
The whole Kaepernick situation and that. Do you think that's close?
No,
because when you said big picture, then I was like, okay, I see the big picture in regards to like the whole sport.
But I view that as, well, first of all, ratings were up this year.
100%, yeah.
So I don't think it was, I guess I'm trying to see where it was an issue, but did it really hurt things?
If anything, it helped.
You know, I mean, it's.
Right, I feel you.
So I think to me that it's that the only real threat to like knocking the NFL off is concussions.
Gotcha.
And figuring out how to navigate that. Now, I think the game's safer than it's ever been, but the game is inherently dangerous. You know, I mean, these are massive human beings moving at massive rates of speed, violently hitting each other. That fact isn't going away. So concussions is the most pressing issue for the NFL. So let's stick with football and go to college football. Now, obviously, if the most pressing issue for the NFL is concussions, you'd have to say it's the most pressing issue for college football as well, for all the reasons I just laid out. But without just saying, repeating everything I just said, if I had to pick another issue, now you could go the route of, the amateur model. For college football, I feel like that's more for college basketball, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But I'm going to give you something that, and maybe this is just me. Another pressing issue to me is college football is becoming extremely Southern dominated. When a sport just becomes super regionalized, that's not good for long-term growth. College football right now is huge in the SEC and the ACC Southern footprint. I wonder about the future of Northern college football and college football on the West Coast. It can't be all Clemson and Bama all the time. It can't be all SEC all the time. And it's slowly moving that way. It's where a lot of the players are. It's where a lot of there's been a big population shift to the South. It's slowly moving that way. So I'd say concussions is obviously number one. But then I would say another issue is the sport's becoming massively Southern dominated and pretty regionalized to that part of the country. With college basketball, to me, it's pretty simple. It's the amateur model as we know it existing in the college basketball world today as we know it. Can those two worlds exist without the freaking FBI being involved? You know what I mean? Like, can those two worlds come together and work? Or is the amateur model that we used to know in 1961 and the 70s, and is it just outdated given the current landscape? Because I've said this a million times, the reality is these players have value, but they exist in a system that doesn't allow them to capitalize on their value. That's a problem. And that is something college basketball is going to have to navigate and figure out how those things can work. Because within that, you have to figure out how college basketball can get and keep elite talent for as long as they can in their sport. Because that age limit rule is changing, is going to change. And college basketball has to be ready for that. I don't think you want to put up a fence and say, sorry, Zion, not welcome here. Sorry, Andrew Wiggins, not welcome here. Sorry, Brandon Ingram, not welcome here. I don't think you want to do that. And so you got to find a way to make your situation appealing for elite talent to not only come, but maybe stay for a year or two or three. And what's that look like? I don't know. And then there's always the issue that I think just kind of like is what it is. The college basketball faces and trying to get people to care about the sport before March 1st. It's just kind of hard to do. But it's still something they should strive to chip away at. But still, the number one most pressing issue is figuring out how this amateur model can exist in college basketball today. Sticking with basketball, let's go to the NBA. Tell you what, you really look at the NBA, not a lot of issues. NBA is in a great spot. But if I had to forecast an issue, and we're still so much in the infant stages of this that it's hard to know what really is happening. If I had to forecast an issue, the player mobility and player power deal could have some ramifications to it. These shorter contracts and shuffling teams all the time can take a toll on fans and on the concept of team. When your top players are moving around every few years, I don't know how good that is for the long-term longevity of everything. Now, I think it's still too early to tell in some ways, but I think we're going to be seeing more super teams and more Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis situations, not less of them. More guys with 2 years left on a contract saying, I want out. I want out. You need to trade me. I want out. Players get disgruntled, demand a trade, throw kind of everything into a tailspin. I think we're going to see more and more of that. So that would be the only thing. Because I do think, you know, people talk about balance between the East and the West. I think the East is coming a little bit.
Oh,
I think the East just got, you know, Giannis and Milwaukee. I still think, you know, even though Kyrie could leave, Boston's obviously not going anywhere. I'm not enamored with some of the Sixers foundation, but you know, I mean, listen, Joel Embiid is a really good player. Indiana, when they get Victor Oladipo back, like, I don't think that that was maybe that was a potential issue, but these things sometimes can be cyclical like that. So for me, I it's hard to find any other big issues. But I would say just that I still think we're in the infant stages. I mean, LeBron, the decision was what, 2010? I mean, we're not even, that was 9 years ago. I mean, it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme. I know it feels like a long time ago, but 9 years in the grand scheme of like figuring out what things are going to look like, it's not necessarily that long. So that could be something that's interesting to keep an eye on. And then the last one, because to me I'm talking about major sports here, and is Major League Baseball. And to me this one's easy. Major League Baseball needs to figure out how to market their stars. When you pit the level of celebrity that the top NBA guys possess and even the top NFL players possess and compare it to Major League Baseball, it's not even comparable. I'm not so sure Zion isn't a bigger star than Manny Machado is in America.
Oh, he is.
Think about that now. I'm not so sure Kyler Murray isn't a bigger star than Manny Machado or you know, maybe not Bryce Harper. But don't even get me started on, I mean, guys, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, these are some of the biggest stars in the world. You can include movie stars, all that stuff. LeBron James is one of the biggest stars in the world. So, you know, ultimately the sport to me has a popularity problem. It's extremely regionalized from a standpoint of Cubs fans are fans of the Cubs. They're not fans of Major League Baseball. You know what I mean? Like, Royals fans watch the Royals. But NBA fans, they have their team, but they also love the league. You know what I mean? Like, George likes the Pacers, but you also like watching Damian Lillard and Steph. Yep. And, you know,
I love me a good basketball game.
You love you a good basketball game. I think, unfortunately, for Major League Baseball fans, a Pirates fan is going to watch the Pirates. But the NFL, you'd be a Packers fan, but when Steelers, Patriots is on Sunday Night Football, you're watching that thing. But I think the popularity of the sport can help grow if you grow the popularity of certain individuals. And I don't quite know how you fix that. But when, I mean, think about it. When you're listing most famous current athletes in sports today, you get down a ways on the list before you would write down a baseball player. Mike Trout could be buying bananas at Hy-Vee right now, and it probably wouldn't cause a, you wouldn't know. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. If Kevin Durant or LeBron James went and got some grapes at Hy-Vee right now, it would shut down the store. If Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady was going to get some oranges at the grocery store, it would shut down the grocery store. Manny Machado, Mike Trout, I mean, it'd be like, that guy looks big. Okay, whatever. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that would be top for me. Baseball's got a bunch of other issues. I mean, pace of play in terms of action, length of game at times, the rules of baseball. Like yesterday, the White Sox had a bat flip, and it was all, I mean, it's like, sheesh, guys. I mean, are you, what the heck? I get that I'm not a part of baseball's culture, but it's like, I mean, you're are we all that insecure that a guy can't throw, guy can't hit a dinger and throw the bat, flip the bat? I mean, Harden will drop someone on a crossover and, like, do the Harlem shake before he may, you know, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, Steph will shimmy. You know, like, you don't like it? Don't give up a home run. You don't like Steph shimmying? Don't let him bang a three in your face. It's like, if you do that, I will throw a baseball 95 miles an hour at your back. It's like, whoa. Whoa. And I get baseball guys gonna, you don't get it, man. You don't get, yeah, I, okay, all right. You don't get it. Your sport's not popular. Your sport's not dying in popularity. Because certain things like that, it's just relax. So there you go. As I comb through the top American sports, NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, Major League Baseball, lay out most pressing issues. That's kind of how I see it.
They got so upset over that bat flip.
I mean, it's, oh, man, what the heck, man? He flipped his bat, man.
So originally I thought he looked at the Royals bench.
Right.
And then threw the bat. But he was looking at his bench like, hey, I just did that.
I just hit a dinger. It's great. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm a fan of the bat flip.
I mean,
I'm a huge fan of it.
Listen, I'm not necessarily, like, I think there's a line. Like, I never was into, remember the Monmouth bench where they would, like, act out like the, you know, like rowing a boat? Like, I'm not, like, there's a line of celebrating that just gets to where it's stupid.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not a fan of that.
Right.
But, like, if James Harden drops a guy on his ass on a crossover and hits a jumper and he wants to shimmy shake, go ahead.
Kind of like Lance playing the guitar after.
Yeah, you want to do that? That's fine. Go ahead. You know, that's fine.
You got your 3 seconds to do it.
I mean, it's fine. If Aaron Rodgers wants to throw a, you know, an inside, you know, a skinny post and just fit it through a tiny window and then do the discount double check, like, it's fine.
Yep.
Okay. Guy hits a home run and flips his bat, and people are like, oh, God. Hit him with a baseball next time. Good God. Let him, guy, it's not the end of the world. Or if a guy stares at the home run too long. God. Good God. All right. You reacting to that? 402-951-1620. You can email me, Nick at 1620zone.com. Hit me on Twitter at Nick Baugh. Game time.